Hello, Channel Niners. For those of you who haven't seen me before, my name is James Rapp, and I'm a program manager on the Parallel Developer Tools team. So I'm back here again discussing some of the new Parallel capabilities we're adding to the Visual Studio 2010 profiler. So let's get started. Now, if you remember last time, you saw my screencast overviewing the three views of this tool and just kind of giving a summary of what's going on here. And in this screencast, I want to go into a little more detail of the threads view and some of the capabilities there. Now, I've already profiled my code, and I have the profile report up here. And you'll see there's a lot of stuff going on. I have a lot of threads and everything. And I want to show some of the ways to reduce some of the information I'm looking at and focus in on a specific area of execution. So one thing I want to do, and I showed this last time, was to hide some of these threads. You'll notice that a lot of these threads aren't really doing much. They're either doing essentially nothing or synchronizing the whole time. And this is a sign of threads managed by the runtime system that are kind of going on, and they're not really threads that I created in my application. I know that because I wrote it. And so knowing that they're not really of interest to my investigation, I'm just going to go ahead and select them and get ready to hide them. Now, before I hide them, I want to mention that we have the visible timeline profile down here. And as I showed last time, it's basically a legend which can show you what's going on with each of the threads. So for example, it tells you that if the thread is green, it means it's doing useful execution. If it's red, it's doing synchronization, and so on. But there's also a percentage associated with that. So for execution, this 28% next to it means that in this window of time, which I'm looking at right now, 28% of that was spent doing execution of my code, while 70% of it was done doing synchronization, and so on. So back to the threads, they're all selected, so I'm just going to right-click and hide them. And you'll notice that when I hide them, the statistics are now updated. So of the threads in view now, in this snapshot of time, 59% was done with useful execution, while 38% of the time was spent doing synchronization and so on. Now, to further focus in on the area of interest, I'm actually going to hide these I/O channels. And in my case, they're not of particular interest because I know that my application isn't doing anything useful with I/O, and there's not really a whole lot of paging going on because obviously if any of your threads are doing paging, it's useful to look at the I/O channels to see what exactly was going on with the paging. But neither of those apply to this situation, so again, I'm just going to hide these because I'm just trying to narrow down and look at what I'm interested in. So now we have a few threads left, and I noticed that there's this region of four threads executing here, and there's a lot of red going on, which means there's a lot of synchronization. So to kind of narrow down on this, I can click and drag, and I can select this area of interest. So when I do that, it zooms in, and it now focuses just on that area. You'll notice the timeline was updated accordingly. In fact, why don't we zoom out again? Just to show, you can see the timeline here represents the entire execution of my application. But again, when I click and drag and zoom in, you can see that the timeline is now updated to reflect that. So now it starts at just under 2 seconds and goes till almost 7 seconds. And in fact, that is synchronized between all three of these views. So when I go to CPU utilization, you can see that the x-axis reflects that zoom. You can see that it starts at about 1.7 seconds and goes to about 6.9. And when I click on the cores view, the same thing is true. So it's a really convenient way that when you zoom in, it synchronizes between all three views, and it allows you to isolate and investigate a particular area of interest without worrying about when you switch between views that it loses that zoom. So now that we're kind of focused in on the area of interest that we care about, you can see that the statistics now are, although they're accurate the entire time, they're actually more interesting now that I'm focusing on the area that I actually care about. So just to go into a little more detail with this profile report down at the bottom, we're going to go ahead and expand that a little bit so we can see it better. And you'll notice that when I click on these different categories, it brings about different profile reports. So, for example, if I'm interested in execution, I can see the number of samples for each of the categories taken by the profiler. As we know, the profiler takes samples every millisecond, so in this time window, we're going to have hundreds of samples taken. So you can see here, for example, my code, dna.exe, it had 270 inclusive samples, and this other one had 12. Now, if I want to drill a little bit deeper to see what's really going on, I can expand these arrows, and I can see there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm not exactly sure what all of it is because it's not all my code. In fact, the stuff that starts with DNA is my code, but it goes past that, and you can see a lot of system calls and things like that. Now, this is kind of confusing, and it might be necessary to manage some of the scale, manage some of the quantity of this data here. So what I want to do, for one, is I can click on just my code. And just my code is determined by anything that's not a Microsoft DLL. So when I click just my code, it shows my code, and it shows one call below that. So now, when I expand it, having clicked just my code, you can see that here's my code, stump, it starts with DNA, and it actually goes one level below that. Now, this can be a pretty useful tool, but there's other ways to manage the scale here. For example, you'll notice that for each of these items here, we have inclusive, exclusive, percent inclusive, and percent exclusive samples. And sometimes you're not all that interested in some of the uncommon samples. So for example, this one occurs 98% of the time, but there's ones like down here that occur 2.18% of the time. And you know, suppose I'm only interested in looking at things that occur at least 20% of the time for inclusive samples. Then I can go to this noise reduction. I can enter 20 and hit enter, and now it filters out everything below 20% inclusive, or yeah, 20% inclusive samples. So now you go and expand it, and you'll see everything here is above 20%, which is exactly what I want. And on top of that, if I'm really interested in this particular report here, all I have to do is click export, and it'll export this as a CSV file for use with other tools or just for my own records. So as you can see here, there's a few different ways of going about managing the quantity of the data that you come across, you know, particularly with the noise reduction and with just my code. And it just makes it a little bit easier to kind of narrow your focus and really look at the areas that you're interested in, just as zooming in does the same thing and removing threads from view. So these statistics can be really helpful, especially when you're focusing on the area that you know you're interested in. And I think, as usual, you know, there's a lot more capabilities I could show you with this tool, but in the interest of keeping this video relatively short, I'd like to wrap it up here and encourage you to try the rest for yourself. So go get Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 and try it out. Thanks.